With the proliferation of smartphones and tablets throughout the world, the day approaches when everyone will have a computer. Individual access to information is already changing lives, overturning governments, and remaking businesses. Even the nature of information is seeing dramatic transformation. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. From a world of content organized by news headlines and journal abstracts, we are moving into a universe of data that has potential to reveal insights and yield great discoveries. For a business like San Diego-based Qualcomm, which has grown from seven individuals meeting in a den in 1985 to a world-leading provider of wireless technology and services, the challenge is delivering access to information of every kind, where and when it's needed, and on every type of device. Britt Mueller is Senior Director for Qualcomm's Library Services, and she joins me now from her San Diego office. And welcome to Beyond the Book, Britt Mueller.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Well, we're happy to have a chance to chat with you. We'll tell people that in addition to your work for Qualcomm, where you've been since 2001, you've served on IEEE's Library Advisory Council. Britt Mueller is also a member of the Industrial Technical Information Managers Group, Special Libraries Association, the Society for Competitive Intelligence Professionals, and Britt has authored a number of papers, presentations, and so forth, focusing on information needs in corporate environments. And Britt, you and I met just about a month ago at the annual conference for Enphase, and as part of a presentation there, you looked at the kind of content investment that a company like Qualcomm is having to make, and you noted that there are three major areas of focus. And I wonder if you could talk about each of those three, and I believe it all really starts with that mobile transformation we're seeing, where, as I said in the opening, everyone will have a computer at hand very shortly.
Definitely, Chris. That's exactly what we've been talking about. And we think that there's a real change in the way people need content and need information, particularly in larger corporations where we have a very distributed workforce. We're really all over the globe. And when you are trying to meet information needs of a company that is fast moving, that's distributed like that, and is growing, it can be a real challenge. Of course, academic libraries are very familiar to people as well as public. And a lot of times library brings up a very standard view, this idea of books in a room or books in a location. And certainly that's expanded to also include online content. But beyond that, there's, as we're investing in content at Qualcomm, the Qualcomm Library, we're seeing a real shift where we, of course, with limited budgets, need to really focus on three specific areas so that when we buy that content, we can distribute it appropriately. And that is, of course, first and foremost, that it needs to be mobile. We're a mobile company, and our distributed workforce and our employees are looking for information and are accessing information on many types of devices. And that could be on a machine, a desktop machine, that could be on a laptop, that could be on a tablet, it could definitely be on a smartphone. And they may not be using just one of those devices, they may be using all kinds of those devices at different points in time. And we really can't wait for them to come back to just the computer. We really need to be able to distribute it at the point of need. So if they're coming through on a smartphone and they absolutely need that data, we need to be able to distribute it. And that's a really big challenge. Qualcomm's certainly on the cutting edge of mobile and wireless, but a lot of the content providers are just catching up with that.
Well, indeed, it's something that you couldn't possibly miss sitting where you sit there at Qualcomm, and we all recognize it sort of intuitively. We know the world is moving to mobile, but what we're talking about here is the way the corporation is moving to a mobile environment, and that's really significant, I think.
Yes, it's a subset of the world. You know, just like mobile has certainly the driver for much of our new technology economy, we have within Qualcomm and within many companies, the expectation is that their information can be achieved in as seamless a manner as they would get it if they're on their own and they're on their mobile phone and they're going to an app store from Apple or Google Plus and getting that content themselves. So that expectation is there. And if we have difficulty distributing it within the enterprise to that level of need, we're going to be falling behind. And that's something that's just a given. We need to be able to distribute content at that same level.
Right. And you mentioned the App Store. And so we're seeing, in fact, in the corporate environment that content is becoming distributed or beginning to be distributed through the so-called enterprise mobile app stores. So tell us what those are like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just like you have the App Store that people are very familiar with, where they download applications that are meaningful to them, that is coming to a lot of companies and a lot of enterprises, and certainly a lot of just organizations, I think, where we want to have a slightly controlled environment where that content can be distributed, particularly proprietary or internal content, can be distributed to employees very, very quickly. So that could be something that's directional, some maps for the company. It could be information around a directory, but it could also be information around how people can do their jobs better. So that could actually be news. That can be actually information around how to get the most current information in a competitive situation. And we're really looking at saying, how do we distribute through our content as opposed to distributing it in the past through maybe a web portal? How do we do that through an enterprise app store? And we're seeing a big shift to doing that. Again, we think the content vendors are still catching up there.
Right. And distribution really is only successful in that regard where there is appropriate access. So I guess that moves you to the step to the second step in this discussion, from mobile to access, and that really must be, as you told us at the Enphase conference, it must be both secure and seamless. Can you go into some detail on that?
Exactly. So when we're buying content, and all libraries face this challenge, not just corporate libraries, but you're buying content for a group of people. You're buying content for a set group of people that you're saying, okay, this is content that we're purchasing, and it's not available elsewhere, so it's worth that investment, and we need to be able to make it available. The way people have accessed that kind of content in the past has been provided through things like password, what we call IP authentication, where IPs are recognized, or sometimes even some special links that people provided. All of those options, though, have some security problems. And in corporate America and everywhere, when you're buying content, vendors included, want to have a secure transfer of data, particularly when there's high costs involved with some of the content and what it costs. So essentially what we've been looking at is single sign-on. And this is not a new idea, but it is one where there are some new standards associated with it. And that standard is SAML, which is SAML 2.0. And a lot of corporations are working to push forward with this type of a access methodology so that we can have a secure and seamless access that aligns with our corporate security policies that are already in place. The other thing that that does is that essentially when I talked about password and IP authentication, those are very bulky ways to provide access to the mobile device. And when you have a mobile device, you have to be able to get through the content you're purchasing. So it's no good if you send somebody an email with a link to a wonderful article or a piece of market data, and they can't get to it from that device, and they have to go back to their desktop. And that's actually what a lot of us are facing right now. So single sign-on allows, if it's deployed at the mobile level, allows that access to be able to be delivered at that point when the person needs it.
Right, and this is this single sign-on SSO is a practice that's been in place in large parts of the academic world, and so you're kind of learning from their experience and trying to transfer that into the enterprise.
Definitely, and a lot of those familiar names like Shibboleth and that type of thing. The difference within a corporate arena is that sometimes the security needs are higher, and the SAML 2.0 standard, which is newer than some of the initial implementations, is something that we often have to adhere to. So essentially, a lot of our vendors, again, are trying to definitely get that in place, and we're working closely with most of our vendors to do that. What we are seeing, though, is in the corporate IT world, there's been a lot of push to move in that direction. And it's becoming a requirement that is large enough that we're actually putting in our contractual agreements with our vendors.
But does it represent a significant investment on their end?
It represents a significant initial technical investment. But again, it's once it's developed, it can be used very broadly. So, and again, once it's also implemented, it's seamless from there on in. And what also is a huge benefit for content providers and publishers when they provide this type of access is that they have more control. They can see how their content is getting used. And as you know from the Copyright Clearance Center, the rights to access are a critical part of the success of any publisher or content vendor. And having a little bit more control and visibility on that is something I know that they're interested in pursuing.
Well, we're talking right now to Britt Mueller, who is Senior Director of Qualcomm's Library Services. And Britt, you've been talking about a kind of a three-pronged approach to the new content investment in this wireless world. So we've spoken about mobile, we've spoken about access. Now we want to move finally to that really enormous challenge out there, which is around data. And as I mentioned again at the opening, we're moving from information in a kind of organized fashion to looking at the data that lies underneath it. How is that going to change the way a library like Qualcomm's approaches all of this?
Yeah, data is critical, and we've all heard the term big data, and I don't think it necessarily has to be big, and that's sometimes the definition. We need data from all of our content sources, so even if it's a few thousand records or a few thousand pieces of content, that data is as critical as the millions and, you know, millions that some other person might be working with as well. So when we're purchasing content in any library, we're saying it has value. And oftentimes that value has been delivered to the end user by a traditional vendor platform where the vendor or the publisher develops a user interface where the end user can come in and look for a single piece of data or three or four pieces that meet their needs with a robust search. And that's worked really, really well. What we're saying now is we have a difference. We're seeing our users and our employees saying, I don't need to find that specific article anymore. I can find that almost anywhere. What I need to do is take this rich content that an information provider or publisher is providing and really take it out and remanipulate it on my own. And so a lot of times that means that we have to get the data out of a system. And that can be a real challenge. And that's actually a big transition for publishers and content providers as well. And they're working through some of those problems. They are aware of this, I think, and they're really trying to figure out what their model is with it. But it's moving fast, and those vendors that are able to provide that content right away and to give it to us in ways that we can remanipulate it are the ones that we're going to invest in. And that goes back to that content investment idea.
Right. And in this environment of tremendous change, then that really is, I guess, one of the important opportunities that you see, that publishers who open up their data to this kind of manipulation would be endearing themselves to you.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I think this is such a sea change that it can be seen as risky. However, you know, a lot of this content can be seen as being commoditized, and a lot of this content can be gotten from a lot of different sources. So when a vendor is looking at how do I provide that information and how do I become the person who they want to buy from, the differentiation oftentimes may not be directly in the content. It may be what the service is and the software on top of it. So are you providing robust APIs so that the content can be leveraged by other machines within our organization? So as you know, we're distributing content not only to the individual, but to other platforms to be able to be used on necessity where the person is actually at a point of need or a system is at a point of need for delivering that. And so APIs, the ability to differentiate content with strong metadata, the idea of being able to get the content out easily, not only at the machine level, but also for the individual user level, those are things that definitely endear a vendor to us and also are the ones that we think will be competitive in the future.
Well, Britt Mueller, I think we could call you almost an activist librarian because you really, I think, take the position that this is not only a new opportunity for publishers and content providers, but this is an opportunity for libraries and librarians as well. And to use an expression I've seen you refer to, you want to give libraries a kick in the pants here. Tell us about that. And really, what is the change that you've seen in the last couple of years that really make you think that libraries also need to change themselves?
That's a great question. It's one that I love to answer because I just talked about vendors and publishers being at risk of being commoditized, and certainly libraries are as well. People are very good at getting information. They are skilled at it. A lot of other people within corporate arena and in the wider world are actually providing a lot of the services that libraries have in the past. Technology is providing ways for people to easily get content that in the past a librarian needed to deliver. It's really imperative on us that we move forward and we drop those things that are no longer valuable to our end users, or are commoditized and they can get themselves. And this can be hard because oftentimes it's something we've done for a long time. And it may be something even like news delivery. If you can't provide a value add on the information that somebody can get on their own, you should really question whether you should be delivering that. And when I talk about a value add, that's oftentimes something that can be provided with analysis, with triangulating information from multiple sources. So maybe you're looking at technical literature and market research and patents and trying to say, what do I see here? Those are things that they can't get easily out there. But what they can get easily out there is information that in the past librarians provided. And so we really need to take a hard look at what we're doing and move forward and always think, what is the value add? And if you're struggling to define what you're doing, and if you're saying that we do this slightly better, be your own worst critic. Say, is slightly better something that would be the differentiator and the value that somebody would be willing to invest in? Because our end users are investing in us. Our companies are investing in us, just like we're investing in content. And they have to see value out of it that is beyond what they can get themselves.
Just as there are now so many new types of information, the sources of information have also grown, and they've gone beyond the traditional organizations, the kind of legacy publishers, and now information comes to us from social media as well. So I wonder how you struggle with the challenge of presenting that social media in a relevant way to your own users.
Yeah, there's so much information, and that video, that content can come from all kinds of different sources. It can come from video. That's certainly a huge area. It can come from social media, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. There's just an enormous areas that we need to move into to make sure that we're getting what's appropriate and what's relevant and what's timely. So there's a speed issue with social media that allows us to really evaluate and analyze the impact of information, the impact of activities that are out in the world, and to be able to bring that information back much quicker than we had in the past. So even faster than we can get a news story, oftentimes we can find out what's happening at a really important conference by looking at Twitter feeds. We can pull back information that is related to the impact of what we're trying to do, and that's, again, the altmetrics, and say, wow, we can see a lot more quickly what's happening. And so our ability to do that is something that our end users are requiring, so we have to have the appropriate tools to collect, gather, and analyze that. And it's just a given. It's not an option. We have to do that. And combining it, what's really interesting, I think, is, and puts us beyond the marketing space, is that we can combine that with some of the more traditional sources. Maybe that's regulatory filings, news, other things. And we can start to maybe see things that folks who are already monitoring social media may not be able to see. And that's going to be something that I think has a really strong aspect for librarians in the future.
Well, thank you for filling us in on all of that. We've been chatting today with Britt Mueller. She's Senior Director for Qualcomm's Library Services and joining us on the line from her San Diego office. And Britt, thanks so much for appearing on Beyond the Book.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher for Keneally, for all of us at Copyright Clearance Center. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.